Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens.
Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, please introduce our guest today. I'm so excited.
Well, a real phenom, they would say. He's an actor, writer, director, a playwright behind the plays Bright Colors and Bold Patterns, as well as Happy Birthday, Doug. And of course, his phenomenal Chloe 70 videos. It's Drew Drogan.
Yay.
Hello.
Hello, Drew. Thank you for being on our podcast.
You know, I'm thrilled that we can finally do it. We've been meaning to do this for a while, so I'm thrilled to
That's
be here.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What have you been watching that's been keeping you sane, like, in this life?
I've been watching a lot of old movies that I have never seen, or things that I hadn't seen in a long time. So I'm watching a lot of Hitchcock, mainly, most of which I'd seen before, but I'm watching it again. I've never seen Born Yesterday. I had never seen that until...
Oh, wow, that's a fun one.
Which is so great. Judy Holliday is amazing. And it's like, yeah, she beat Betty Davis and Gloria Swanson for an Oscar. She better be fucking good. She's amazing. Watch that. I've watched a lot of campy, like, anything, Vincent Price to...
No, he's what we need.
All kinds of I'm really enjoying kind of mindless, escapist trash, but I don't know. I mean, that's kind of what I like anyway, but
it has a special resonance now.
For sure. And it's nice to sort of pick out something and going, oh, what am I going to do tonight? I'm going to sit down, have a glass of wine, you know, maybe get a little high and watch a movie that I've maybe never seen before. Kind of great, you know?
Yeah. I just watched Douglas Sirk's Magnificent Obsession, which is like pure escapism.
Which I've never seen either.
It's a must-see. It's it's got Rock Hudson.
Yes.
Slab of Man.
Say no more.
Wait. No, I've seen All That Heaven Allows. I've seen that one.
This is, was before that.
Okay. Because I love All That Heaven Allows, but I've never seen Magnificent Obsession.
Check out Magnificent Obsession. It's got three hours of plot in 90 minutes.
It's what?
It has 3 hours of plot in about 90 minutes.
Those are my favorites.
Yeah.
Keep it moving.
Keep it moving, yeah. Let's not linger.
Like a Law and Order episode.
Right. Because a lot of those older movies, they love to linger. They love to just be like, well, let's just hang out for a minute.
Yes.
So it's good. I like when it's like, boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
Zippy.
Yeah. What about you, John? What have you been watching?
We just finished the, it's more epic, the country music documentary by,
Oh, yeah, which I've heard is great.
It's so good. So great. I really love that. That was so much fun. Now listen to a lot more country music.
Thank you. I listen to country when I clean and last night when I made a vegan chili. So I'm living my 1970s housewife life.
I love it. My favorite movie of all time is Nashville. So I love, you know, I mean, that era, country music or anything older than that. Mm-hmm. I actually really enjoy like old gospel music, like from like country gospel.
Oh, cool.
It's beautiful. I love it, you know. But anything like Loretta Lynn, Dolly Parton, like, bring it on, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, speaking of the outlaws of country, we have another kind of outlaws. We're talking about 1980s Windows. John, what is Windows about?
Well, let me tell you, Windows came out in 1980. And in fact, it is the first major studio release of the 1980s. This is the movie really? That kicked off the decade. So wow. We're really getting into some heavy hitters right now. It is an erotic thriller directed by Gordon Willis, starring Talia Shire, Joseph Cortez, and Elizabeth Ashley. And it tells the story of Emily, played by Talia Shire, who is the subject of a perverse obsession by a gay neighbor, Andrea, played by Elizabeth Ashley, who not only is in lust with her, but hires a rapist in order to get audio tapes of her moaning. Andrea turns peeping Tom and watches Emily with a telescope as she begins a love affair with Detective Cortez. It was nominated for 5 Razzie Awards, Picture, Actress, Supporting Actress, Director, and Screenplay. And Elizabeth Ashley was nominated for a Stinkers Award, also in 1981. Never heard of that award before, but she got a nomination.
That also would have been the first year of the Razzies, because I believe I'm right that Can't Stop the Music was the first one to win the Razzie.
The
same year. So, because Mommy Dearest won the next year. But I apologize / you're welcome for suggesting this movie. I'd never seen this movie until it was on my list of like campy things to watch. So when you guys asked me, I was looking, maybe this will be good. every year at Outfest, we've always done we've done bad movie night. Dave Holmes and I will find a bad gay movie, usually with the help of Alonzo Duralde and friends. And it's always been on Alonzo's list. It's like, you could always do Windows, but it's really disturbing. It's really hard to sit through. And boy, was he right. That opening scene, especially, is unbelievable. It's sort of like, reminded me of a lesbian Rear Window, but also with a lot of Frenzy. Have y'all seen Frenzy?
Yes.
I haven't seen Frenzy. What's that one?
It's actually, I think, horrible. And I think that if it came out in, like, obviously in today's climate, like, it would have canceled Alfred Hitchcock. Like, for all the good he did, that movie is horrible. Like, it's
ugly. Yeah.
It's so ugly. Not as ugly as Windows. Windows is the ugliest movie ever, I think. Yeah, Frenzy is really... Frenzy is it's a truly sick movie where it's like you follow a rapist the whole movie. The rapist is the lead.
Oh, okay.
And you're watching him get away with it throughout the whole movie. And it's just like, it was just at the end of Hitchcock's life and really like where you're like, oh, this guy was truly not mentally okay. And one of our greatest filmmakers, but also. Anyway. reminds me of Frenzy, like that opening scene, and also Cruising a little bit, which also came out the same year.
It's like the lesbian Cruising.
Yeah, but I think Cruising's actually a great movie, but I think it has kind of a similar vibe, a similar aesthetic of just ugly, and just they really wanted to show you every like moment of a rape. Like, it's not just like, oh, we know what's going to happen, we can move on.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it is.
Right, there's a weird moment of like, no, you need to see this. And it's like, we don't.
We don't.
like, they're almost like trying to be like, this is the real thing. And it's like, meh.
No. And poor Talia Shire, this poor actress. Like, don't poor do this Talia to an Shire. Actress.
Until you see Talia Shire acting, and then you kind of are okay with it. If there's ever a performance that sort of earned abuse, it's her stutter acting that she's trying to do.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty rough.
And you know she's a stutterer because she has every textbook about stuttering on her bookshelf at home.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say you enjoyed Window? Like, would you watch it again? Like, what would you?
I would totally watch it again. I would fast forward the first 10 minutes or however long that break was. It felt like it was 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because that just starts the movie. And I started and I was like, oh my God, this is the most disturbing. It gets really insane in a fun way for me. Like, after that. So I would fast forward that opening. And then once we meet Elizabeth Ashley in a fucking cocoa cowl neck and so much pancake makeup on, jogging, character makes absolutely no sense. Lesbian poetess Andrea.
I'll never forgive this movie. Did they ever show her poetry? Do we ever get to hear her poetry?
We do at the end.
She recites.
That's at the end. Okay.
She recites a couple times. So in therapy, she will recite.
Oh, yes. Her therapist is always asking her about her poetry. As if we haven't been through enough. We have to listen to her roses are red, violets are blue shit.
Right. She says, I really wrote down, she says, I'm working on a poem, a new one. Would you like to hear it? It's about love. And then she goes on her poem.
God.
John, what did you think of Windows? Had you seen it before?
I had not seen it. I hadn't even heard of it before. I was so delighted to have seen it. I thought, similarly, it's like, ooh, it starts so heavy in the beginning. It gets bananas. I wish there was just like a little bit more cocaine on the set of this movie.
Yeah. Well, it's very predictable. Like, you know exactly what's happening the whole time.
You just don't know how it's going to get there.
You never think Elizabeth Ashley should be trusted. You never, like, their relationship's so murky. Like, what's happening?
How do they even know each other?
They're neighbors, I guess.
Okay.
I also was very confused as to where we were a lot. I was high when I was watching this movie. I took notes. I took like 4 pages of notes.
Okay.
But I still kept being like, where are we right now? Because Talia Shire moved, but then at one point I was like, I thought you just moved to a new place.
but you had to tell her work.
Right.
And I don't know why she didn't, because that was where her husband, that was her ex-husband.
Right. Right.
I'm not sure, but it was, she did live in Brooklyn, and then she moved to Manhattan, because you don't get raped in Manhattan.
Of course not.
And then, and so,
home of
Broadway. That's what, It was confusing, because there were just, like, a fifth of this movie are just shots of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Totally. and then jazz hands to the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yes, that was a great moment. Yeah.
Goes to a window and makes jazz hands at the Brooklyn Bridge. I blacked out when that happened. Also,
I had never heard or seen this. I had never heard of or seen this movie before, and I was gobsmacked. I was like, why don't more people know about this? But also at the same time, people need to know, but also be warned on the same token.
Yeah.
Like, if you love trash, true camp, that is actually produced, like, it's beautifully photographed. I mean, it's Gordon Willis. He shot all the Godfather movies and, like, all the President's Men. Like, he's a genius. So it looks great. But for what purpose, I couldn't tell you.
It is surprising that it's not more well-known, especially since there's not that many, like, big lesbian movies, I feel like. Like, there's not that many older gay movies, but I feel like there's even less, so you would think that's something that was... it kicked off the 80s, that people would know more about it.
Because as much as people hate Cruising, like, Cruising was so loathed by the gay community when it came out,
Then
I'm shocked that Windows wasn't hated way more. I mean, Cruising, I understand when it came out, it was the first like mainstream portrayal of gay life, and people were saying it's the seedy leather, like murder. Like, it's like if you go into a leather bar, you're going to get murdered. This is what it means to be gay. And like, there was no positive portrayal of gay love on, in major movies. But I think we can look at Cruising now as like a really well-made thriller. It's genuinely terrifying. That final moment of Cruising, I think, is just beyond bananas, weird. Like, what's going on with Pacino? You know, Pacino's great in it. I think that we can look at that movie now. And there's scenes in Cruising where the cop says, this isn't all gay people. They literally spell it out. Like, this is not, like, they say it. So you can watch that movie now as like a, you know, as a thriller and not say this is representing all gay culture. But Windows is just basically just saying like, if you're a sad, lonely lesbian, you're going to do this. And like, what woman, regardless of her sexuality, what woman records someone being raped and wants to listen to it? The scene where she gets the tape in her car, puts it in the car, and then smokes, and then throws her head back and hums. I mean, who are we supposed to go, oh yeah, well, careful.
That happens.
I once tempted a woman like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, because they give her no motivation beyond the fact that she's a lesbian.
Right, yeah, there's
like,
no
there's
motivation.
No, like, who is she? Where does she come? How does she get this amazing two apartments? Both right, amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
She does have great interior design, though.
I don't know. I felt like, I love you're saying it's like gorgeous. I thought it looked like the set of Brighton Beach Memoirs. And then it looks like, what else did I write down? I was like, this looks like now it, when we move to the empty room, I don't know. I wrote it down somewhere in my rattling off. But it's, there's nothing. It's like so, it's so crazy. Like, and also Elizabeth Ashley's wardrobe, which is amazing, but it's also like verdigris, Halston, belted, yeah, like villain suit. Like this New York poet in the late 70s when this was shot, like why is she dressed like she's, it's like dinner, like Faye Dunaway. And like,
yeah, I think that's a perfect segue because Drew, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. So we have a very elaborate and Byzantine scoring system, right, with about over 40 categories.
Right.
There's a lot of categories. We're going to go through each one.
Oh, okay.
And at the end, you are going to add a category, which will then possibly it could
become canon. Right.
So it could be added to the
right.
So let me tell you, so this is a percentage of total possible points. Let me tell you where we're at right now, the top five movies.
Okay.
All right. So number five with a 62.63%, 9 to 5.
Yes.
Number four with 66.49%, Meet Me in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Number three, 69.17%, The Muppets Take Manhattan. Number two, 76.52%, Funny Girl. And the number one, current reigning champ with a 78.59%, is Bradley Cooper's A Star is Born.
Wow.
So, so we're going to take for this first bunch.
That's the gayest movie of all time?
It's of what we've done so far. It's right, definitely gayer than Goodwill Hunting.
Wow, Shangela really has a lot of points.
Well, you'll
she's like see. Three categories is how much Angela's in this movie.
I love it.
So the first category, we're going to take every, we're all going to score, give it our own score out of 100, then we take the average.
Okay.
So the first category is homoeroticism. So how homoerotic is Windows?
Oh, that's a tricky question.
That is a tricky question.
They had like a very like sensual hug near in like the first third after like Elizabeth Ashley like slammed the door on that guy's arm several times.
Oh my god, crazy.
They had like a very like sweet hug after that. That felt like okay, that there was some like homoerotic that could have gone to the bedroom.
And there is like lesbian flirting in it. Like she's bad at it, but she is there is like
oh it's
when
very,
she bites her
it's
over
very homo. I just don't know how erotic it is.
Right. It's all on one side. It's one-sided eroticism.
Remember the montage when they're walking across the bridge and you're just hearing rape noises with tender music? let's see. Oh, but there's also Elizabeth Ashley's teak steam fuck hut apartment with the Howard Johnson's bed. But you think she's in the shower, but no, she's behind her.
She's wasting water.
I don't know, like on a scale of 1 to 100?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could, or 0.
Homoerotic, I'm gonna say, I will say 50.
I'm not gonna go quite as high as 50, but there's, it is sort of like an erotic thriller though. So you know what, I'll go 50 as well.
50. I'll give it 35. it was a little too queasy for me. Yeah. And it is all in one woman's head, essentially.
True. Yes.
All right. It's giving an average of 45. Not as high as Star is Born, which had a 47.67, thanks to John giving it an 80. Okay, our next category. Actual gay characters.
Well, oof, there's Elizabeth
there's
Ashley.
The one. And in a lot of ways, the movie, like, you watch the movie, like, on paper, she is clearly the villain, but whenever she's talking, the music under her gives her such, like, sympathetic and, like, romantic, like, undertone to it. Like, it almost, like, is, like, her, she's the protagonist of this, like, that wants us to feel for her.
Oh.
It was very jarring.
Well, I definitely don't feel for Talia Shire.
There weren't many people to root for.
I thought she was a speech therapist. Was I wrong about that?
No, she had speech issues.
So she has to do her, like, you know, rhubarb.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Rubber buggy bumpy bumpers every night in her empty apartment.
Yeah. So there's just the one, I think, just Andrea. That's the only actual.
Yeah, but this is a movie that doesn't have a lot of characters, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's true.
It's, I mean, if it's really, you could boil it down to.
Was the cop sexy? I couldn't decide. I was like, oh, he's really hot. Oh, God, he's disgusting.
Yeah, he was just like nothing.
He was such a bad actor that
terrible.
It was hard to find him sexy.
Oh, my God, terrible. His phone calls.
Also, I don't think.
Wake him up.
I don't think a cop should be asking an assault victim out for a date, but maybe that's
yeah,
just
yeah, there's all that.
It was 1980. It was still okay. He was just trying to
I don't think it was okay right. Even back then. So what, Drew, what would you give this for actual gay characters?
Just one.
Just
one out of 100?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's how many, if we really boil this down to, there's how many characters? There's
the neighbor.
The two women, the cop, the neighbors.
That weird
therapist.
Doorman.
Kate Medford is one of the
But characters. There's maybe like seven characters in this whole
okay,
movie, right?
So one out of seven. So 12.
You give it a 12?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'll go 15.
15. I don't know. She's like a big part of the movie,
yeah,
though.
I would say bigger than that. Because she is like basically the movie. So I'll say 20.
20.
I'm gonna go 33.
33.
She's basically a third of the movie.
I'm going to give it a 66.
Okay.
Because there's an actual, it's a terrible representation of a gay person, but there is a gay person. All right. So the next category, camp factor. How campy is Windows? How would you define camp? I would love to hear your definition of camp.
Yeah. It's basically like, you know, like when it, I think camp is when something is not intentionally celebrated. Like, we celebrate things for different reasons than what they set out to make. So it's sort of unaware, unintentionally fabulous or hilarious, or it becomes something bigger or better or worse or more. So it's definitely all of that. I feel like same with Showgirls, it's like very campy, but the rape always like knocks
really
off.
Yeah.
Same with Showgirls. It's like, so because there's nothing obviously campy about that, but then they're recording it. And then once you record it and give it to a woman who's going to smoke and then just like squirt all over her car, we're into camp. Because that's so insane.
Yeah.
Ding ding.
There's but you gotta stick with it.
Like, now then I'm like, okay. And again, I really just think like Talia Shire's performance is so annoying that it's like, not since Annabella Shore and Hand That Rocks the Cradle have I been like, keep more, hurt her more. So I'm gonna give this an 85 for camp.
85, pretty campy.
Yeah, it's pretty high. I mean, we haven't even talked about the frozen cat.
The frozen cat that motivates itself to fall out of the freezer like after a beat.
And then clatters on the floor.
Clatters because it's frozen.
Yes. That is the definition of camp right there. Also, I think the book Save the Cat was written shortly after Windows came out. They're like, you know what?
Sure.
You should have saved the cat.
I've got it.
But they warn her early. They make a big point and they say no pets. I wrote that. There you go. I was like, that's the blackout line. That's going to come back later. I know how things work.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty high. I mean, they even like had a long scene of them watching Now Voyager. I was like, why are we still watching this movie within this movie? Yeah, I'm gonna go 90 on this because I feel like it's really high, except but for that rape scene. And I think especially with this, like, it's interesting how like it took a while for my husband and I to be like, oh yeah, this movie's super like crazy. Whereas like with Showgirls, like, oh, it's crazy, then that rape happens, and then you go back to it. Where this, like, by starting with the rape, it takes a while to be like, wait a minute, hold on. But yeah, so I'm gonna go 90. You gotta ding it for that rape.
You gotta ding it for that rape.
Mm-hmm. Also, there's,
you gotta pay that rape tax.
There's a line, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just saw one of the campiest lines ever was the therapist said, why'd you get drunk? And she, Elizabeth Ashley says, because it hurts.
Come on. Yes. Mama's getting a swimming pool over this one.
I have a few things I think that are pretty campy that happen in this. I think Talia's, one of her first lines is, Steven, we're getting a divorce. Hanging paper plate art on your wall. Being offended when someone doesn't want to talk about their sexual assault with you. smoking in therapy. Leaning against a brick wall in a loft you're renting just so you can spy on a woman you're secretly terrorizing. A dirty phone call. Andrea vomiting after seeing Emily and the cop kiss. Molesting a telescope. Smashing a telescope on a first date. That spring-loaded address book. And then having a total psychotic breakdown because you can't see a woman's boobs.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give this a 90.
Good.
All righty.
Also, campier than Funny Girl.
Also, I literally wrote camp after that. When she leaves the bloody handprint on the window.
Yes.
It's like she makes a point to put her full handprint and like, come on.
Like she needs to get in.
The whole plot about like, who bought a telescope in the city? Yeah. Like,
I want a list of everyone in Brooklyn who bought a telescope in the last 7 or 8 days.
God.
And the ending is so unsatisfying because they just kind of like, she slaps her and then kind of just walks away. And then they have a conversation of like, well, this is what she was into me. She was just really obsessed. I don't think she would have hurt me.
I know. She says, Talia says, she never would have done anything to me. And the guy says, yes, she would have. And it's over.
I wanted her to like fall through a window or like, this is the character who should have like fallen 30 stories to her death.
Yes.
It's called Windows, not Brooklyn Bridge.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Our next category, over the top wardrobe.
Okay.
There's a lot of tan, a lot of muted colors.
A lot of tan, although... Elizabeth Ashley, I did note she was wearing a pink turtleneck while jogging.
Yes.
Yes.
And I noticed that none of his jackets, this isn't over the top, but none of his jackets fit him. Did you notice that like the tailoring was off?
No.
It's like the sleeves were too short on all of his coats.
What a read.
Elizabeth Ashley, she had some sunglasses that were really like, okay.
Very fun.
That brought a little zhuzh to the set.
I liked her, Elizabeth, what she was wearing, that weird like blousy jumpsuit on like their seduction scene when she invites her over to her apartment.
That
was pretty, was like really low cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she didn't wear a lot of bras in this movie.
A lot of belted numbers. And
the belted.
A lot of it. Talia Shire's horrible Dorothy Hamill penis haircut.
That was tough.
Disgusting, like, children's science program clothes that she was wearing the whole time. But because of Elizabeth Ashley, I mean, Elizabeth Ashley is 100% dinner theater Faye Dunaway through the whole movie.
Yes,
she's great.
Yeah. In terms of the outfits, the whole, I'm going to give this a high. It's still so ugly. It's hard to say. I'll say 80.
80.
I think it's pretty muted for the most part, except for, I like how you said, like, Elizabeth Ashley seemed to buy all of clothes off, like, the villainess line of something. So I'll give it a 66.
I'll give it a 60. It is pretty muted, though. All right, so the next category, given an average of 68.67. That's 5.67 points higher than A Star Is Born. So each chip Star Is Born.
Here we go. We got a horse race.
Next category, mm-hmm. drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Windows and come away with a whole book of ideas?
I want to meet the drag queen.
That does, like, right?
I was inspired by Windows. I
do think the late 70s, early 80s time period, it is a good time capsule of that very, sure. very specific era.
Yeah.
It would be hard, though. I don't think this movie has like an iconic look.
Yeah.
That if someone yeah. did have a look, you'd be like, that's Windows.
Windows.
Right.
Unless they're like holding like a dead cat.
You gotta have that frozen as a refrigerator.
That frozen orange cat, and they have to be listening to a recording
holding
of someone getting
holding a
bloody
telescope and a, yeah, yes. a tape recorder with cigarettes.
I know, Windows
because,
night. Yeah,
the thing is, the look is, it's very Eyes of Laura Mars too. And if, I mean, I would say that would be more iconic for a drag queen to be inspired by that movie or something around the same time period. It doesn't seem very aware of the time, you know what I mean? It was just now, you know what I mean? It wasn't like yeah. making, there wasn't any, so there's
not a lot of bold choices.
Yeah, it's sort of hard to think about like who, you know, yeah. So I'm gonna say no, drag queen could probably do this.
So what would you, how would that translate to a number?
I mean, with Elizabeth Ashley, you have to think, because I think, you know, I know I watched Evening Shade as a child, and she was definitely on my list of like, that woman, what's she about?
yeah, I must know
she's
everything.
She's got something to teach me.
She sounds smoky and awful. I need to meet her.
That's how I feel about Edie McClurg.
Oh, I'll tell you all about Edie McClurg.
I would love to. I just watched Elvira, Mistress of the Dark
last night. Oh, Chastity Pariah. I love
amazing.
It's such a...
It's so fun.
Oh, what was I going to say? Okay, in terms of, I'm going to say 30, just because of Elizabeth Ashley.
30.
And Talia
I'll give it 10 for Elizabeth Ashley.
Just 10.
Just 10 for Elizabeth Ashley.
I'm going to give it a 20. So give it an average of 20.
All righty.
All right, our next category. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this to gay people? So a little child comes up to you, a little 8-year-old Timmy, and says, a child, an 8-year-old comes up, hey, I'm out. What do I need to
watch?
Where?
I'm here. I need to get used to it.
I'm in short pants.
There's so many movies to watch before you watch Windows Child.
But put it on the list.
But it could be on the list. To the right people, this is one of those movies that, like, I would absolutely recommend this movie to my kind of, like, you know, gay friends that want, like, real, you know. It just depends on your sensibility, but it is, there's something right. very undeniably gay about it, like gay people enjoying it more than
right.
Such also as a historical document, you know.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Look what we used to have to accept.
Exactly. We were always killers. Mm-hmm. The fan, Laura McCall, all of it. It was always that. Okay, so how likely would I recommend it? I'm gonna say 70.
I'm gonna go a little higher just because I do feel like I'm so glad I saw it and hadn't heard of it. So I feel like I'm gonna go 83.
83. I do feel it is like an like you'd have to, there's a huge caveat. Like the first 10 minutes are rough.
Right.
But beyond that, it is pretty, I think it is like a camp classic. I don't know. I'd give it an 80. I think it's it's pretty high. All right, next category, the male gaze. So this is like, how horny is the camera for the male form? Like, how much is their intent behind the camera?
Zero.
Gordon Willis,
it's
straight
pretty,
as a board.
Pretty low. I mean, the one person who's supposed to be the eye candy, it's, as I said, his jackets are too short. His tie was always like undone. They don't really make him sexy at all.
No.
But I mean, in this case, do we think we should look at it more as like, well, how horny is the camera for Elizabeth Ashley? Because they do sort of like do make her sexy.
Like, she's not like unusual to make a woman sexy in a movie.
I understand, but
I know what you're saying. Yeah, that would be the gaze would be, but like it's such a creepy thing. I think there's nothing about it where you're like, oh wow, it's so steamy and
this black.
It's trying to be that, but. Yeah, too much pancake on Ashley.
There's a lot of pancake.
So Drew, you're giving it a zero?
I'm gonna say zero.
John?
Yeah, I guess I'll go zero as well.
I'll give it a zero. It's like nothing. Giving it a zero. All right, next category. Entrances with pizzazz.
There is one entrance where she comes around where it's almost like she's Freddy Krueger. Like they shoot her like it's yes. Freddy. You know? And yeah. Like it was, I think it was like the shower scene where you think she's in the shower and she's yeah. behind her.
Yes.
With the lights behind her, you can't see her face. In that. The opening shot of the movie is very nice with the like the Rainbow Pride neon down the stairwell.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The jazz.
But it's not a real pizzazzy movie.
It's not a pizzazzy movie, no.
Everything's so muted and like hushed. Unless they're screaming.
I know. It's like there's a lot of shitty wind music.
I also was thinking, who is this movie for?
Oh yeah.
Who are they like? Is this for like straight people? Like a straight couple to watch? Like, well, thank God we don't have that.
I know.
So what would you give this for entrances with pizzazz?
I would give it a 30.
30.
I'm going to go 20. It's pretty pizzazz-less, I think.
Pizzazz-less. Yeah, I'll give it a 15, even lower. Giving it a 21.67. All right, next category, dramatic lighting.
There's a ton of dramatic lighting.
Of dramatic lighting. You got a DP directing.
Yeah. Like even that opening shot in the hallway with like the weird like colored light and a little spiral. Yes.
A flash of a switchblade.
Mm-hmm.
The final, when she's having her meltdown with the light coming from the bathroom.
And there's like, there's been some
Boulevard ending too. Like,
Yes. There was one confrontation scene where it was just one like silhouette and the other woman.
Yeah. That's anyway, on the poster, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of shadow erotica.
Yeah. Shadow erotica.
Yes.
How she was like holding that telescope. Like, it was so upsetting. I felt bad for the telescope. So what would you give this for dramatic lighting, Drew?
Oh, I mean, 85.
Yeah, I'll go 88 because I also love that the police sirens going over her Elizabeth Ashley's face or in her Sunset Boulevard.
We haven't even talked about 85 her at the end where she becomes a child and she's like, please don't hurt me.
So weird.
It was such a trend then of just like, oh, that like you break and you regress.
Right.
Like it's all some weird, like horrible thing. Like you happen to walk in on your parents having sex and now that's why you're fucked up.
Yeah, it's also same year as Dress to Kill, which kind of has the same thing of like their queerness is like their disease in a way. It's weird.
Yeah, that's all the only thing that motivates them.
Right.
All right, our next category, strident women.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean.
There's a strident woman and there's a blathering victim who I've never in the history of people heard anyone talk like that.
Have you enjoyed Talia Shire and other things?
No, I think she's terrible. I think she's 100%.
This is nepotism in action.
100%. Everyone talks about Sofia Coppola. I'm like, well, at least she went on to make some great movies. Like Talia Shire. Talia Shire was nominated for 2 Oscars. And she's awful.
For both 2 Rocky movies?
Rocky and Godfather 2.
Godfather?
Oh, Godfather 2.
I think she was nominated for Godfather Part 2. And Rocky, yeah. No, she's awful. But also, she's not strident at all. But Ashley makes up. And then you also have Kay Medford, who we haven't talked about, the neighbor. She's pretty strident. You know, broadly, Kay Medford. She's pretty fucking great.
This is her last movie.
Oh, wow.
Went out with a bang. There were like such weird coincidences. Like I was so confused when there's one point Talia Shire gets into the cab of the guy who assaults her. Yeah. And that's a pure coincidence. I was like, oh, is this
that happens in New York City all the time, guys. It always happens in New York.
Oh God, I got my rapist for my cab driver again. She starts it off, but also like her character, Talia Shire's character, like she's going Larry, calling him Larry when it's Les Lawrence on the thing. She's thinking we're like jokey with him. Why that woman wouldn't do that? Why would that woman do that? That's like
And she would never get back into the cab with him.
Get back in the cab. You got in, got out, made a phone call, and you get back in the cab. Absolutely.
Well, maybe that's what the cop told her to do.
Why?
I mean, it's a bad idea.
To be like,
yeah, she called the cop to be like, my rapist is here. And they were like, come to this spot.
Okay, we'll get back in the car. Tell him to drive
you on the line.
Could you imagine getting the call? Hey, don't have much time, but real quick. My cab driver is my rapist. Where are you right now?
So what are we going to give this for strident women?
I'm based on Kay Medford and Elizabeth Ashley. And as strident as, I'm going to say 72.
72.
Yeah, I'm going to go 75.
We'll also go 75. I mean, Ashley is like strident for the gods.
Yeah.
All right, our next category, macabre. How macabre is Windows? It's pretty macabre.
It's pretty macabre. I mean, there's all that knife, there's the rape itself. There's that weird moment of Talia Shire looking at the Brooklyn Bridge with her jazz hands. That's pretty macabre.
That's macabre.
A frozen cat.
A frozen cat.
Another more macabre.
Yeah.
The rapist coming through the door is really
so like crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I also thought like the cat walking through while she's being raped and not doing anything, that was pretty macabre.
Yeah.
So what? Like you thought when Fatal Attraction or boiling a rabbit was a big deal. They're freezing a cat.
They did it years before Fatal Attraction.
But even just like
trailblazers.
Watching some like peeping Tomming someone across that river.
And the heavy breathing and like the POV shots.
Also, like she just lived across the river. That whole thing where Talia runs outside and she's confused and she can't get across to she's so maddeningly upsetting. She's like, she can't get to the apartment. And Elizabeth was like, I live right around the room. Where are you? I can't find it. And she's panicking to get over there.
Infuriating.
Yes.
So what would you give it from a
90.
90.
I'm going to go 88 for macabre.
I think I'm going to give it 92. It's almost, it's almost too macabre for me.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
All right, next category. Wigs. Are there any wigs in this?
It's not a wiggy movie.
No. Talia's hair looks like a wig. How they got real hair to do that, I'll never know.
I don't know.
Put in that knit cap all day. Yeah, it's not a real wiggy movie. Not even like Elizabeth Ashley.
No. Kay Medford, no wig.
No wig.
You don't think it's a piece on the top?
Over, breaks the lamp.
What was? I thought I missed something when that happened.
No, she just fell over, broken lamp. Okay.
Yeah, my husband and I were like, Elizabeth Ashley somehow responsible for that? Like, did she somehow kill her?
Because she has she finds a mini bottle. She's looking for liquor in the house because she needs to calm down. And then it's like she falls. I don't know why. Maybe Kim Edford just fell in that moment. And they just kept it.
Like, just keep rolling.
They were like, we gotta go. This is our last day.
So what are you gonna give this for wigs?
I guess 0.
I think it's 0. John?
I'm going to give it 5 because I bet Kay Medford had like a little red piece on top of her.
I see. I'm going to give it a 0.
All right.
Next category, quips. How quippy is Windows?
Not at all.
Not quippy.
I mean, there's some moments. There was the, you can let the cat out of the bag now, when she literally had her cat in a bag.
Sure. Oh.
They're like, I'm out of coffee. Were you ever out of coffee?
Sure.
So I mean there's attempts at quippery.
There's one moment where Elizabeth Ackley just screams, "You son of a bitch," that I really enjoyed. But I don't remember where it was. I wrote it down for what that's worth. There's drunk and vomiting at therapy. And then I do like, why'd you get drunk? Because it hurts. I love that line. And the poems that are so bad. Quippy though? I don't know.
Not a very quippy movie.
No.
No, I'll say 15.
15.
Yeah, I'll go 15 as well.
15. I'm going to go 8.
Wow.
Not very quippy at all. All right, next category, vibrato. Now, this is the literal vibrato, but then we also use it to mean little extra. Is the movie doing anything like zhuzhing anything?
A little extra more. I did write at one point.
Rape.
I did write Talia Shire's blouses are fabric vibrato. Like, she had a lot of busy patterns in her tops. And just the fact that Elizabeth Ashley recited poetry felt vibrato-y to me.
Her apartment was pretty wild.
Yes.
Overly decorated.
A lot of draped fabrics.
There was all the voice lessons and all that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, true.
In that world. Sure. I'll go 50.
50.
I'll go 40.
40. I'm going to split the difference and do 45.
Alrighty.
All right. The last of the canon categories, or first of three categories of categories, footwork. How much footwork is in Windows? Well, there's the jogging.
Yeah.
The jogging. There's one moment where Joe, the cop, is just like waiting for Talia Shire, and his foot was like in a jaunty position as he was like trying to nonchalantly hang out on the wall, and he had like a jaunty foot. So I just wrote that down.
Jaunty foot.
Jaunty. Who could forget?
You know, I have a real eye for a jaunty foot.
Always have.
But it's not a lot of like. There's not even a lot of like run. I mean. There's her, like, where are you running bit.
But they don't even have, like, a fight at the end or anything.
No,
like, a physical conference. No one goes see a show.
No, there's very much. Right. There's the montage where they walk across the bridge where you're hearing her tapes again.
Sure.
And, and I guess when the, you know, Elizabeth leaps to her feet to protect her when the guy comes through the door, you know. But sure. Not really. I'll say... 12.
I'm going to go 15. A few extra points for that jaunty foot.
I'm going to go 10, just for the jogging.
Okay.
All right, now we are to our wheel of categories. We have a wheel with some other categories on it, and you're going to spin it via the magic of Zoom technology four times.
Okay.
So whatever category comes up, that will be what we randomly. All righty, so here we go. The first category is... wearing another's clothes. Does someone wear another's clothes in this movie?
Take on another identity.
I don't think that ever happens in this, does it?
No. I had nothing for that. Like she, no, you would think like Andrea would go in disguise or something as like a.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
In a stuttering support group.
Did she ever like
something.
Pretend to be something vocally? She did.
She does
heavy.
On the like keep away from you. Don't touch
right.
her.
Oh right. Oh, that may be where your son of a bitch might have been. She may have done that in her creepy voice.
That makes
don't
sense.
You touch her, you son of a bitch.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh right.
But even then, she is. That is just who she is. She's not pretending right. to be someone she's not.
That's true.
And we see it. We know that all along.
Yeah.
We got that telescope POV.
Yeah. So I guess zero.
Zero.
Yeah, I get zero. Sorry.
Zero. Giving it a zero all around.
Alrighty.
Wheel category two.
Caper music. What kind of caper music is there? I actually did have something for this. There was a very sort of intentional, specific harpsichord music playing when Talia Shire was calling the cops on her rapist slash taxi driver. So that's kind of a caper to like
it was.
To catch someone.
Yeah,
and the also, music was very like, pay attention to this music. I couldn't hum it for you now, though.
No.
No,
that's Ennio Morricone for you.
Before the reveal that her cab driver was her rapist, I thought they were trying to be light and funny there. I was like, oh, it's going to be a light moment. But it, of course, they can't give her any joy.
Windows has something for everybody.
Yeah.
I did note it wasn't capery, but the end, like, I guess there was an hour of music that Ennio Morricone recorded, but they never used. But, like, the end credits of the movie are great. Like, it's actually a beautiful piece of music over the end credits. It wasn't capery, but it that The last end credit theme is great, and it's on YouTube. Check it out. So what do you want to give this for caper music?
There is a lot of wind chime music and whimsical music. So I guess like 25?
25.
Yeah, I can go 25. That sounds right.
I'll do 25. That's pretty good. Yeah. Great. Spin that wheel.
Third spin of the wheel gives us memorial moments. Are there any moments in this movie where we stop and remember what once was?
Well, there's a shot of the Twin Towers. I literally took a moment and went, oh.
We see now Voyager, so we get to memorialize.
Right, that's true.
Yes.
There's that. Remember when they knew how to make films?
Betty Davis was.
Is there any sort of like memorial moments in her therapy?
Because you don't get any insight to her backstory. Like, it's such like a
this woman.
Yeah,
I assume she grew up like a rich kid, like a trust fund kid.
Yeah, obviously, if she's a poetess.
A poetess with those two apartments. So what do we want to give this for memorial moments?
I guess 10?
10.
Yeah, I'll go 10 for now Voyager.
I'll do 12. Give it two more, another extra point for each of the towers.
All right.
All right, last wheel category.
All righty. Queen song.
A Queen song.
There were no Queen songs in this movie, and I was trying to think if there's any sort of reference to a queen.
No.
I lost.
No. The wheel was not kind to the movie this week, I'll say that.
I don't think there was a Queen song.
No.
Zero? Are we doing zeros across the board?
I guess we have to go. I guess so, yeah, zero.
All right, Drew, now the time has come for you to add a category. So which we can then use and for other movies. Yes, you, you're going to add a category. Which
and
we
then that
then
category
use...
gets put on the wheel.
Oh, great. I was wondering, like, how you got all these great categories. Now I get it.
Like a queen song.
I'm going to say, do you have dramatic smoking?
No.
We do
that's
not.
A great one.
That's a great one.
I love dramatic smoking. And Basic Instinct would kill.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, there's always, you know, there's a lot of that in Campy, you know. Characters smoking, you know. And in this movie, there's a lot of smoking. I mean,
a lot, and it's all drama.
Yeah.
I mean, just based on the fact that she lights a cigarette while listening to a tape of someone being raped, I'm going to give it a 97.
Yeah.
Drew, I didn't get. What was your score?
90.
Drew? 90 and 97. I mean, I think I'm going to give it 100. I mean, if not this, then what? All right, we are now into the bonus categories. Where don't worry, there's only about 20 more categories left, but these will be quicker. These will be a percentage, and we just kind of agree on a percentage.
All right.
Between one and five, or zero and five, excuse me.
Yeah. So the first one, makeover montage. Is there a makeover montage?
There's only the rape montage.
I'm cool with not giving it anything for makeover montage.
I think that's fine. Zero for makeover montage. All right, next one. Angry phone hangups.
There were a couple.
There's a few.
Yeah. There was the Steven, we're getting divorced.
And like, don't ever touch her again. Ashley was always hanging up angry.
That's all she knows how to do.
Right.
So what do we want to give this for?
I'll give it a 4. Out of 5?
4? I'm fine with 4.
4 works for me for this one,
4, great. All right, next one. Titular theme song. I don't think there is
one. No one sings Windows, unfortunately.
There's no theme for Windows by Donna Summer or something.
Totally.
Yeah, I guess it has to be 0 for this one.
I think it's 0. All right, next one. Fun fonts.
This was pretty perfunctory, I felt, and as far as fonts go.
I do think the opening credits are pretty great. Like, they do look like that 80s what passes for, like, sophistication.
Yes.
I did like them. And also, I did get a little excited when there was the, this is very stupid, the silver Ever-Ready battery with, like, the through them. I was like, I remember that.
Yes, I agree.
That Ever-Ready battery took me out of the movie. I don't think it's a zero for fun fun, but I could do, like, a two.
Sure, I'll do two.
Two, okay, I'll agree with two.
Very good. All right, next one. Cheerworthy cameos.
There's Betty Davis. Oh, that's true. Let's give it a one. Let's give it a one for now.
You know what? I gotta give it to Kay Bedford. She was a legend. I mean,
typically some people get very specific about a cameo only being in one scene. So in that way, Kay Bedford sort of is too important to be considered a cameo.
Yeah, gotcha.
But I think we can give it one for.
For Betty Davis.
Betty Davis.
All right, we'll give it a one. All right, next category, pool trouble. Well, no. There's no way. The only thing I thought of, there is trouble when they're in a pool of light at the end. All right. This is a stretch. Wow. Usually John's the one doing stretches.
I'm usually the one doing stretches.
But I'm just throwing that out there.
Sure.
Yeah.
What can you give us more context? Where were they? Where was this?
It's at the end when, like, they have the confrontation. Yeah.
Oh, right.
The switchblade to her.
And that, I mean, it is the climactic moment of the whole movie.
Yes. Yeah.
They are in a pool of light. There is trouble. I would give it a one.
Sure.
All right. We'll do a one. All right. Next category: sassy best friend.
That's Elizabeth Ashley.
She's definitely.
But would you call her the best friend role?
I mean, there's no friend. Talia Shire has no friends, right?
Elizabeth Ashley. Nobody has friends.
There's Kay Medford.
Yeah.
She's not sassy so much as she's sort of like old school, no nonsense.
Right. Salty.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have liked seen Andrea on another date. Like, what is she like? Just like, is she like going out and trying to meet other people? Why this woman? Why this sad, lonely mop of a woman?
Because they were neighbors, I guess.
I guess.
I mean, yeah, so what was their meet cute?
It's rough. So what do we want to do for sassy best friend?
I think it's a zero, but if one, I could do one for Kay Medford.
We could do one.
And I also feel like the first third of the movie, Elizabeth Ashley is being the best friend.
Right.
True.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Next category, a bold lip. Well, Andrea at the end has a pretty bold lip.
Yeah.
But again, this is like a dark time for fashion and style, at least in how these movies are
pretty
doing.
Big.
Rapus has some real like beefy, like bologna lips.
He looked like a Dick Tracy henchman.
Totally.
He did. I mean, you could say that like having that switchblade in her mouth, like on her lip, was sort of a move.
That's, would that be a drag queen coming out with just like a switchblade taped to her lip?
There you go.
That's a bold
lip. A dead cat and a telescope.
That's a bold lip. So what do we want to give it for 0 to 5?
It feels like a zero to me.
Zero.
What do you think, Drew?
I mean, one, I guess. Like we came up with a couple.
Sure, let's give it a one.
All right, give it a one. Great. All right, witches. Well, Andrea is kind of witchy in her like apartment, like Wicked Witch of the West, looking through her telescope / cauldron.
Like,
you know
how
what
she
I mean?
Was she able to find Talia Shire's apartment across that, like, that was insane. That,
she's
there's
a real
some witchcraft.
Witch.
There's some witchcraft going on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, totally.
She's pretty witchy in her hideout.
So, one?
I give it a...
You want to give it a three?
A three.
Yeah. All right, three. I mean, I didn't see a cauldron, but sure.
I didn't see a cauldron. All right, next category. How Korean is it? How Korean is Windows?
Zero.
Not very Korean. I think I'm fine with zero for this
zero,
one.
Zero, I think, yeah.
Know what else isn't very Korean? Bunny Girl.
Nope.
All right, next category. Felt.
What
How much
is
felt
Korean
is it?
Parasite.
Parasite.
How much felt is in the movie?
Like,
the, I mean, there's a lot of weird fabric in that. Yeah.
Oh, a lot. I would.
There's like
every room. Every there's coat. All kind, it's the 1980 New York. It's all about felt.
Yeah.
I'd say five.
Five?
Right?
I'm fine. I've noticed a lot of wool, so yeah.
Sure, let's go five for felt.
All right, five for felt. All right, next category. Gay actors playing gay roles.
Zero.
Zero, unfortunately.
Zero.
I mean, I don't know everyone's right. sexuality line, but...
Well, I guess you just get points for visibility.
Yeah.
What'd
you say?
You get points for visibility. Mm. But she doesn't. So next category, themes of mothers. There's like nothing about a mother.
There's really nothing about a mother.
I don't think they ever mention anyone having a mother.
This is like made by the two straightest men ever. I think,
completely. Whoever made this movie does not care about women at all.
No,
no.
Especially lesbians.
No. So a zero, I'm going to assume, yeah, for that, right? Zero. All right. Next one, a feels song. Is there a song that puts you in your feels?
No.
No.
I did think that. I did re-listen to the end credit song after I watched the movie.
Okay.
It's pretty good, actually. It sounded like an air song. I give it a one. I'll give it a one.
A one on that.
Ennio Morricone. He's no slouch.
Sure.
Oh, that's great.
All right. And then 0 to 5% for gossip. How much gossip is in the movie?
It's really not a gossipy movie because there's just not a lot of people.
No. I mean, if you heard this story about this happening in your building, you would gossip about it, but it's insane.
Could you imagine?
Could you imagine? And then she rented an apartment across the river.
Oh. Check your freezer for cats.
Check that freezer. You're going to lose your deposit. So we're going to give it for gossip.
I think it's zero.
Yeah, I think it's a zero.
Zero, yeah. All right. And then next, you can make up a lot of points here. You could get up to 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Windows have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
Sorry, Windows.
Sorry, Windows.
But I mean, she is able to get that apartment. She is able to get that telescope. I mean,
she's financially independent.
She's not inept. But no, I don't think it would
matter if she were a hobo, for sure.
Yeah. And then finally, Drew, negative 50% points. If this is the movie Cruising.
This is not the movie Cruising, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
Oh, do you guys hate Cruising after I saw this?
We haven't seen it. We're saving it.
We actually haven't seen it. We're sort of saving it for like an anniversary.
It's a placeholder.
Oh my God.
You're like one of the few people who've said that it's a like actually good movie.
I think it's great.
I'm intrigued.
So like
now.
That's made me interested.
I will argue that it's more interesting
to see it.
Right. I also saw it a lot later. Like I obviously wasn't. I mean, I was alive when it came out, but
sure.
But you weren't like, this is affecting my
other
life.
Things. But but I think it's a great movie. Yeah.
All right. Cool. So out of a total possible 2,154.66 points, Windows has scored 968.66, giving it a percentage of 44.96%, making it the 20th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Titanic, but gayer than Tourist Trap.
Wow.
It's okay.
All right. Pretty good.
Even 20.
Top 20.
That feels right. Well, Drew, that's it. That's the show. We've done it all.
I love that. I hope we even
thank you so much.
Inspired people to go see this movie. It's currently streaming free on Amazon Prime.
Yes, absolutely. Prime. And I think if you just fast forward through those first 10 minutes,
yep.
you will enjoy yourself.
Highly entertained.
Well, Drew, is there anything you would like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
I'm currently trying to stay alive and stay insane in my apartment.
Great.
Okay.
Wish me well in that. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so
Thanks
much.
So much,
thank
Drew.
You guys. This was so much fun.
And we'll
be right back.
We are crushing it.
We are so in sync.
We're like two people recording a podcast across the river just through our windows.
Oh, thematic tie-in.
Thematic tie-in, thank you. I'm really glad we saw that movie.
Me too.
How, like, I'd never heard of it, and it's this weird little sort of delightful, sort of cringy little treat.
Yeah, and as a lover of trash films, I'm like surprised I'd never heard of it. It's crazy.
It's crazy. I wish it could have just amped up a little bit more.
Sure.
But it still is pretty great.
But it's never boring.
That's true. You will be confused as to how you're supposed to feel.
Absolutely. Or
what's supposed to happen. And a lot of the storytelling is sometimes confusing. But bored? Never.
Never.
Nary a moment.
Never.
Cool. We've got some emails from some people. We got one here from Scott. It is titled, Hello. And he writes, I love this show. That's pretty much it. This cisgendered male government office employee from Vancouver Island, British Columbia, Canada, cannot get enough. I've listened to every episode, and the dynamic between you two is gold. Not sure how many times I've smiled or laughed while listening, but without question, in the double digits. Thank you so much, Scott. Isn't that very sweet?
That's
Canadian
great.
Listener. Thanks necessary to John Gabers for the introduction, though he miscalculated, as your show has far and away usurped High and Mighty in order of podcasts to listen to.
Wow.
I will let him know. He probably won't listen. It's okay. Please keep doing what you're doing, but hey, if you mix it up, I'm not going anywhere. The categories are bananas and glorious. Feel free to use this as a review in any public forum you desire. Goodbye. From Scott.
Great.
What a lovely
email.
Thank you,
Scott.
Thank you, Scott. That's so
nice. We welcome the cisgendered straight government workers.
Yes, especially from Canada.
Especially. They know what they're doing up there.
That was very sweet. We also have a review on Apple Podcasts from Meg Kamar. She says, perfect. The perfect balance of comedy and bickering. I listen to many hilarious podcasts, and this is the only one where I rewound to listen to a joke again. It was that delightful. And that was from the Chicago episode, she tells us.
Wow.
Thank you, Meg. And then finally we have from World's Greatest Pizza Party, 5 stars. I give it 5 out of 5 chiffon shawls billowing gently in a warm summer's breeze.
Wow, what
Thank
a vision.
You, World's Greatest Pizza Party.
Wow.
Nothing like eating pizza with a chiffon scarf on.
Well, you got something to wipe your mouth with
afterwards.
Yeah,
exactly. Perfect.
Well, great.
Thank you so much for rating and reviewing. We really loved hearing from you guys. Let us know what you think about the new scoring system. Do you like it? Are you excited? Uproar or outcry? Let us know. We love a good scoring
system. I'm glad something like wasn't number one again for the third week in a row. Then I would think, like, okay,
we really broke
here.
This system. Yeah.
Yeah, we broke it. I feel like this feels right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let us know. Also, like, we're talking about doing a Patreon. Let us know what you'd want to hear on it. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, and next week.
We know what we're doing next week now.
Will be Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, baby. So, getting goth up in here.
We're getting goth.
Getting really
goth. In the meantime,
goth.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @2oldqueens, T-W-O, Old Queens.
Or you can email us at @2oldqueens, same spelling, @gmail.com.
And that's it. I just hope everyone's staying safe, staying home. Don't protest that you want things to reopen, you idiots.
We all want things to reopen.
But we love just takes time.
It does.
Great.
All right.
We'll see you next time.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen,
artwork by Connie Shin,
and special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.